We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Friday. A happy hour Friday. All four hours. Happy hour on a Friday. And shout out to Oren Romain.
Damn you, Oren.
Starting the show in the most appropriate way possible. Because I'll be honest with you, Randy.
What?
I haven't got more text messages, direct messages, tweets on any topic we've ever discussed than I did yesterday after the show. The revelation we had during the AMA. It was a beautiful thing, my friend.
Man, whatever, man. What's happening, man? Yes, it is the happy midday show, happy hour. For our happy hour show here on the midday show with Andy and Randy, we do appreciate everybody participating like y'all always have been great. Mm-hmm. Getting all your pictures and what you're going to do, what you're doing now, what you're doing after work, this weekend. We do appreciate all that. But, yeah, man, I mean, I'll be trying to, you know, I'm always open. I'm always going to be open with the folks and not sugarcoating. I put some of my business out there sometimes. It was just a one-time thing in college, trying to get some Pampers and take care of my baby, man. And I had a partner that was his side hustle. It was side hustle. I was like, hey, man, what you know? And he's like, well, I got this party here. It was like, I got the party going to. I was like, cool. He said, but I was like, cool. All right. It was a one-time thing. Everybody said I'm a stripper. No, I stripped. It's a difference. Strippers is more than once. I did it once.
I know. I know that now. I didn't know it yesterday. I know it now, and so does everybody else. And if you missed the full story, you should check out yesterday's podcast, the AMA in the 1 o'clock hour, and get all the details. And you know, I don't think of you any differently. In fact, maybe I do. Maybe I like you even more than I already did. Respect.
I took my clothes off of ladies.
No, because you did what you. Because you did what you had to do to get by. You were in a financial bind, and you figured it out, man. You're an adapter. You overcame the circumstances. I don't know what to say about that, but I'm glad that you shared that with the class, and now everybody knows. And you're right, Randy. We're open books here. We try to share as much information as we can.
Yeah, without getting fired.
Nobody's getting not over that. And what we know is, if we do well, we've got options. There's something we can do to make ends meet if we end up out there looking for a job.
Dude, I can't drop it like I used to. I told you that last time I was out there trying to dance, I did a split and couldn't get back up because I thought I'd tore my groins off the bone. So, yeah, I mean, I'm old, man. I told you, I boogie. I don't dance no more. So I can't do that. But when that song come on, everybody know when it come on what time it is, man. It's like, so whatever, man. What's happening over there,
Smarter,
man?
I'll never hear that song man. The same way. Yeah, same thing happening over here that's happening at your house. I'm glad it's a four-hour happy hour. Today, as always, send us pictures of whatever it is that you're drinking on a Friday morning. We'll give you a shout out at TBM929 or at RandyMac81 on Twitter. Shout out to Greg Morrill. He tweeted us a picture of an ice cold Coors Light he's got cracked open on the golf course this morning. Congratulations to you. That's the right place to be. That's a great place to be today.
Are you going to get a chance to play any golf or is she shutting that down?
I got a tee time tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Before the baby shower up there in North Carolina, and then I'm going to get out on Monday morning as well. So a couple rounds in the next couple of days. But whatever you need to do to keep yourself sane, whether it's an ice-cold beer at 10 o'clock in the morning or some golf or whatever, it's been a rough couple days in terms of college football, man. And I know yesterday was just an announcement that it'll be conference schedules for the Big Ten. But I think we all sort of interpret that as sort of the tip of the iceberg and more news on the horizon. I mean, I would imagine all conferences are going to make this decision. The ACC did the same thing. And hopefully that's where it stops. I don't know if it goes any further than that, but it wasn't good news yesterday from the world of college football. That's for sure.
No, it wasn't, man. And when I saw, I mean, because I saw it, but I didn't pay. I was like, I just glanced past. And then Wendy texts over showed the store. I was like, oh, man. And, you know, I look at it as all the other conferences possibly thinking that maybe the Big Ten jumped the gun on this. But, mm-hmm. I mean, when you talk about doing the scheduling and all that, they want to see if they can get all the conference games in. And then I'm like, well, what about the back end? And, of course, we all got to know about these schools that are paid to come get their butt kicked and what that money does for their, you know, for their athletic departments, man. And when I saw that, it just confused me. I'm like, why are y'all going at this so early? But then, I mean, as you start to listen to more and more people, higher uppers or whatever, the people that are, in tune into college football, everybody has a lot of doubt now. Doubt is creeping in, and the confident level is not like it was 2 months ago. And the reason why is because we always said the football has the longest runway. Well, that runway getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and things ain't getting better and better and better as far as these numbers. And now they're looking at it as, you know, not necessarily a contingency plan, but they're like, Andy, they don't even know. They put Big Ten, they did this as far as going to just straight conference games, and they still not sure they are going to even get those in. I mean, that's where it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, no one knows. And this is something that baseball insiders told us throughout their entire negotiation process, was anyone that tries to tell you anything is for sure is lying, because they don't know. It's the same thing right now in college football. I mean, I understand some of the athletic directors in the MAC reacting the way that they reacted yesterday to the Big Ten making their decision, because the MAC makes a lot of their non-conference money by mm-hmm. playing the Big Ten. Bowling Green's athletic director was not happy with the Big Ten making their decision and making it so early, and I get that, but then there's the flip side of it of, you know, if they're going to do it, at least know. At least know as soon as you can so you can start making your own contingency plans. And
right.
Like I hope everything happens as normally as it possibly can this fall. We know it's not going to be normal, though. So whatever the closest thing to normal can be, that's what we're all rooting for. I wouldn't be surprised if all of the Power Five conferences make this decision. If the Big Ten and the ACC are doing it, the SEC commissioners are meeting next week. The Pac-12 is rumored to be doing the exact same thing. I'm sure the Big 12 is going to do the same thing too. If they do, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Group of Five and the FCS schools do the same thing that the Ivy League did and say we're going to play in the spring. Because one of the big reasons to do it, and this is also one of the big reasons why the Big Ten isn't playing non-conference games this fall, is the money. I mean, those schools get big paydays by playing Power Five conferences. Conversely, mm-hmm. Power Five conferences pay out big paydays to play those Group of Five and FCS opponents. And in a year where you're not going to have the same revenue because you're not going to have fans in the stands, you cancel those games. I don't know what that means long-term for some of these programs. I don't know what it means short-term, because sometimes when you cancel those games, Randy, for whatever reason, you still have to pay them. Now, I don't know. Maybe you settle on a monetary amount that's in the middle. Sometimes you got to pay out the full amount if you canceled the game too close to game time. This is the conference making a decision, not the schools making the decision. So maybe it's different in their contract. But these smaller schools are going to want that money, and
there
I wouldn't be surprised
be
at all if this ends up being there's going to be lawyers and there's going to
be
court cases.
Lawyers.
They're going to. They want that money. They need it. They need it to sustain
themselves.
They need
it. Exactly. Exactly, man. And you feel bad. I know Auntie Melanie. She texted me last night and was like, "Albany State's canceled their season," and a lot of those schools that they're canceling things, man, because you know it's been a bad. They're losing so much because of the fact is how much they generate through through ticket sales and merchandise sales and all these things that is not there, man. And when you look at who said it yesterday, Andy? You said we're blanked if we don't have a college football season. Who was
that? Was an anonymous Power Five athletic director?
Yeah,
one of
you are.
The athletic directors in the Power Five. Yeah, they're blank.
Yeah, you blanked, you know. And it's and the first thing everybody wanted to make the jokes about Notre Dame. Notre Dame gonna be fine if they're going to a conference games and all that. Notre Dame, somebody's gonna pick up Notre Dame. All right, so Notre Dame is playing football this year. If everybody's playing football, Notre Dame's playing football. I wouldn't be surprised. It still, to me, it seems like everybody's doing a wait and see with the SEC though, because to me it seems like they've been the one who hasn't wavered as far as we're gonna play. And when you look at it like that, I mean, the Big 12, of course, you know, their two top dogs, Oklahoma, Texas. How did they deal with this thing? We know how Oklahoma's head coach, Lincoln Riley, he's coming back this week and saying that he wouldn't, you know, the spring league might work. Now, in order for that to work, I just don't see the superstar players playing it. Well, I know I would, you know, I would never advise my son to play, because I'm like, no, we're too close to the NFL draft. Go on to the draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're an elite player and you have NFL on your horizon, if you're, I don't know, there's a lot of guys like that.
Yeah.
What's the point? I mean, no offense, competition and all that. That's great. The love of the game and everything, and that is important. But so is getting paid and protecting your family and changing your life monetarily in the future. Yeah, I mean, if I'm Trevor Lawrence and you move the season to the spring, I mean, I'd like to play because I love football, but I also know I'm about to get a lot of money, and I'm not risking any of that. For a spring football season. And I think a lot of people, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence would make that decision, but I think there definitely will be people that do.
Yeah, I mean, there will be, Andy, and you know, and we're at a place right now where the closer we get, and I think I might say the Tuesday, the closer we're getting to stuff, and the more worried I'm getting, man. I really am. And when you hear prominent voices like Gene Smith, and then I hear Paul, and then I heard Mark Schlabaugh was on this morning on ESPN. I mean, these are guys that are really in tune into college football. I mean, Mr. Smith is one of the most powerful people in the NCAA. The biggest thing with the NCAA is there's no solid leadership. That's why the Big Ten jumped the gun like that is making people mad, because there's no leadership for them as far as, okay, we're all going to get this collectively get together, which they probably have, but nobody could come to a consensus answer. And that's where you're at right now. That's why Big Ten, you know, they want to probably just be first. We're going to throw this out here. And now the ACC said they're going to probably do it. Now probably the Big 12. You said the Pac-12. The SEC will probably be the last one to basically say, okay, we're in on this 10-game thing, because if they play their full comp of games, Big Ten's playing 10 games, then what the hell happens to the championship and all these things? How do you get that done? I mean, there's so many different things and so many different moving parts. Like if Ohio State and them, the MAC teams they dropped and all those things, I think they were going to Oregon this year and all that. Now if they get their conference games out of the way and say you're in middle of November, do you pick those games back up? I mean, there's just so many things, but I just feel bad for a lot of those, you know, those leagues, like you said, the MAC, you know, the Sun Belt, those schools like that are not going to get that extra cash they would have got by just going to somebody else's stadium.
That they count on. I mean, that they count on to fund not just the football program, but other programs that they have. I mean, Bowling Green shut their baseball program. Yeah, their athletic department. Bowling Green had to shut their baseball program down earlier this year. Now, it was saved by community fundraising, which is beautiful, but the Bowling Green's losing $2.5 million based on the Big Ten's announcement yesterday. The entire MAC is losing like $20 million based on the announcement yesterday. Like, that's a really big deal for programs that don't generate a lot of revenue. And then there's the announcement rumored announcement out of Texas about high school football in that state.
Dude, when I saw that, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, we'll get to that and what's trending, because the ramifications of that are even scarier. And again, that's not been confirmed. It's simply a report that Texas high school football is considering not playing this year. But if they're not doing it, who is? We'll come back and get to what's trending here on a Happy Hour Friday. Send us what you're drinking, even if it's a Powerade
or
coffee. There's nothing wrong with that.
Just put something in the Powerade.
Just spike it, like our guy Magic Fred does. He gets his coffee, puts a double Bailey's in there, and he's listening every morning. We'll be back with you. Tell you what's trending coming up next on a Happy Hour Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
This decision would allow us to, one, do the right thing by our student athletes, keep them at the forefront of all of our decisions, and make sure we create an environment to give us the best chance to play. I mean, one thing we have to realize that this is not a fait accompli that we're going to have sports in the fall. We may not have sports in the fall. We may not have a college football season in the Big Ten.
Well, that's not the sentence you want to hear said from Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten. That's not really what you want to hear.
Oh, I thought it was Gene. Okay.
I mean, that's just not good news, man. And we know that the Big Ten made the announcement yesterday that they're going to a conference-only schedule. The thing about it is, you know, look, it's all frustrating. Hopefully they figure out a way to play. But they are going to try to make it seem like it's about something that it's not about. I mean, the biggest reason why, in my opinion, maybe I'm jaded, the biggest reason why they're not doing this is money. Like, safety doesn't make any sense. Like, just conference-only games doesn't prevent anyone getting this disease. Like, you're traveling further for conference games in some instances than you are for non-conference games. It's not like just playing against Big Ten opponents is going to somehow keep you not from getting the disease. Like, do Big Ten opponents have less coronavirus than the MAC does or something like that? Like, that's obviously not a part of it. And in Georgia's, think about Georgia's case. Georgia and Georgia Tech are pretty close to each other. That's right. Less travel than you would have for some conference SEC game. So obviously it's not about that. It's got to be about not wanting to pay that money. And I get it. There's not money coming in and all that, but they're going to try to make it about safety. And, you know, in some ways it is, but in other ways it's about money more than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways you can look at it. I mean, that is crazy that Georgia goes to Missouri this year, if I'm not mistaken. They go to Missouri, but they can't ride up 316 to 85. I mean, it's still in the early stages of it right now. I know that we saw that, you know, there are going to be some rival games like that, those cross conference rivals like Florida State, Florida, give me another one, Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Of course, Georgia Tech. But, I mean, you're not going to have those games, man, if this is what everybody's going to go to. And it sucks. It does, because you were hoping, and I think that's what we continue to do until now that we've got the Big Ten's decision. We just hope. We hope that we will be able to have a full college football season, you know, and starting out with Georgia here in Atlanta, going against Virginia and mollywhopping them. And then you got Alabama, USC. I know you're down because of Michigan. Washington is not going to be played.
It was going to be a fun game to start the season.
These are going to be things that you're going to miss out if all this is going to stay true. I don't know if what the Big Ten is doing is this in pencil or is it in pen. You know, those are things you got to know when you're starting things or deciding to make a decision this big. How set in stone is it?
I saw a lot of that yesterday. Like, what makes you think or other people think that it isn't? Like, it hasn't officially been done yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm in an officially done scenario in how I'm viewing things nowadays. Is it official or
Fair
is
enough.
It just without the rumor? And because I need something, bro. I can't deal with no college football, you know, or NFL football. I mean, I was cool. I would have lived if there was no baseball, soccer, or basketball. I would have lived. But man, you can't go get me football.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and not to make it just about us or anything, but there's a lot of people when we talk about the financial ramifications of the football season. Right. We were talking about the MAC and smaller conferences needing those paydays. There's a lot of independent contractors that cover college football or that work in the stadiums that are going to be impacted. People that are the play-by-play announcers or whatever, like the economy of football, both professional and college, is very broad reaching. And if it doesn't happen, it's not just like, all right, we'll just shut it down for fall. Like that's people's income that they need leading into the holiday season. Also, a lot of that stuff, we've seen this before. When you have an economic downturn, whether in whatever, you know, in whatever part of the professional community, whatever business it is, sometimes when those jobs go away, they don't come back.
That is a great point.
That's scary. I mean, it is. It's really scary right now for a lot of people that are involved in sports. And
hopefully
it works out.
The only soccer team I cheer for is Atlanta United. But, I mean, if they know football, man, I got to pick up mid-predict. I mean, I'm just going to be Liverpool. I'm just going to get me a tat. I'm going to get me a tat, and I'm just going to go about my business, man. I mean, I need something, you know, and I'm as excited as I am about tomorrow night's game against Atlanta United, for Atlanta United. That news I heard from college football, I was just like, damn. I'm not going to get down to the dump. Not going to.
No need but to damn. Until it's official.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
Conference only wouldn't be.
I mean, that'd be fun. We'll still get to play Alabama.
We'll still get to play Alabama. An SEC only college football schedule is fun. Now, it would be funny to see the college football playoff committee have to figure it out at the end of the season, and I hope we get to the point where that they have to. But I don't know. Like, everyone's talking about how difficult it's going to be. Would it be? Like, okay, if an SEC school goes undefeated, they're in. If Georgia and Alabama both go with just one loss because they played each other, they probably both get in. Big Ten undefeated team probably gets in. Like, Pac-12 will get shaded, rightfully so, as always. You'll probably get the undefeated Big 12 team in. And I mean, there could be some really complicated scenarios, but like, college football historically is about dealing with complicated scenarios that you've created for yourself. We've only had like 15 years of an actual national champion. Before that, it was just a bunch of random bowl games and then writers voted, you know? Like, right. College football is used to this.
Are they?
Yes, they are. They're used to handling nonsense situations in terms of deciding who gets to play for championships or who is the champion. Yes,
exactly. But I mean, how would they do that if not everybody's playing the same amount of games? That's the only thing I look at it is if Georgia's going to play their regular schedule and we still get Virginia down here. Well, obviously, if Virginia goes to the conference schedule, that game's not going to happen. So does Georgia, they find a replacement to beat up somebody down here to Mercedes-Benz, or they find somebody to beat up at Sanford? So, I mean, it's going to be a tricky situation as far as, you know, when you're going straight, you know, just straight conference games. And we talk about the independents. I mean, what about BYU? What are they going to do? What about the military academies? You know, what I mean, these are things that you have to look out for, man. And I mean, I think that, you know, the SEC, I think a lot of people are still waiting to see what they ultimately do, because it's hard for me to believe that, you know, that they want – no, nobody wants to go to – nobody wants to drop these games. But, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that they're going to be just – have a decision. So they meet next week. They're going to have a decision next week. I think they're going to drag it out as long as they can, man. I don't know why I feel that way.
I think they should wait until the last. If they have to do something bad that no one wants, I think they should wait as long as possible to make that decision. I also agree with what you said in the first segment. College football, especially the Power Five conferences, could really benefit from having a commissioner, somebody who actually unifies this process and gets these conferences on the same page in this decision-making. Like, the Big Ten just to kind of go rogue yesterday and say, yeah, this is what we're doing. And then everybody else is like, oh, damn, what? Really? Right now? Okay. Like, that was a bold move that caught a lot of people off guard. An actual governing body of the Power Five conferences would be nice for a lot of different reasons, but, you know, Mark Emmert can't be bothered. Let's talk about this now. This is a story from Texas. Obviously, Texas high school football is among the biggest in the country. Here's the Dallas Independent Schools District Superintendent, Michael Hinojosa.
Just very, very quickly, the last question. This is Texas. High school football is king. Will people be playing high school football in Texas this fall?
I seriously doubt it. I don't know. We're not in control of that. The University Interscholastic League gives us guidance on that, but that's a true contact sport. I don't see how we can pull that off. There's been some discussion of moving it to the spring, but we'll have to wait and see. I seriously doubt we can pull it off.
All right.
Okay. Again, that's not an official announcement. That's just somebody who's in one of those positions saying something that you don't want to hear. I mean, Texas obviously is a barometer when it comes to high school football.
No, it ain't. We play some good ball here in Georgia.
I'm not saying there isn't. There are
Texas high school football out there.
How many states are there that you put in that category? Georgia, Texas, Florida,
California.
Okay. So if any of those four states said something like this, I think the reaction would be what it is.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, Texas.
Fort Valley Texas is a very good high school football program, Randy.
Texas is, I mean we know what high school football is in Texas, man. It's God family football or something like that, whatever the phrase is. But no, when you hear that, you're like, damn, homie. But he's right. And that's what we talk about. Like, are you going to – because, I mean, right now is it – and I'm sure this is in high school. If the students can't come back, how are they going to play football? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean – as a parent here in Gwinnett right. County, we've got the option of, you know, doing a homeschooling thing, the digital learning, or sending our kids back to school. Are they going to have that? And how does that affect sports if you're not in school? Because I'm like, oh, you can't come to school, but you can come to practice. I mean, that was always, you know, that was one of the things. Oh, well, you can't come to school, but you think you're going to play? That type of thing. So I don't know how it's going to work out. But, yeah, that was a big thing when I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, hopefully it's not true, and hopefully they can figure it out. But, yeah, just a tough day yesterday in terms of football. Now, the Braves were on the field yesterday. With their second scrimmage of the summer, Mike Foltynewicz on the mound for his side. He spoke afterwards.
You're at your home ballpark, which, you know, it's kind of cool at the same time. It's just, you know, a little perk added on. You get to, you know, do all the stuff here. I'm just like in the middle of the season. And once the season starts, boom, you're right into it.
Folty said he had butterflies going out there on the mound yesterday, Randy. The first time Folty on the mound at Truist
Since he got rocked.
Yeah, since that day since in October got, that nobody wants to think about.
Yeah, nobody. Exactly.
But he looked good. Man. Apparently, three innings, no hits allowed, which is nice. Had one walk. So far, three out of four of the starting pitchers that you saw go out there looked really sharp. Sean Newcomb, not as much. Gave up a couple home runs yesterday. But, you know, just good to see him back out there running around, working out. And if the pitching is good at the beginning of the season, the Braves have a good chance to start the season well.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, not two scrimmages do make a season, and we know that Sean Newcomb got rocked yesterday, and Folty looked pretty good. But, I mean, it's still a long way to go, and they still got a lot of work to do, Andy. Shout out to our guy Thomas Crawford. Thomas drinking that Louis this morning. Thomas on that Louis. I see you, homie.
That's a fancy drink for a Friday morning. I appreciate that.
Hey, on that Louis, and I recently married Bat Pimp. He's drinking his Pepsi. Get you some liquor in there. I know you at work. Just keep a lot of mints with you.
Not everybody has the freedom to drink at work like we do.
No, we don't.
I'm not drinking.
Stop what? Snitching.
Who's snitching? I just said we could. I didn't say we were. What? All right. We'll come back. We'll get the big deal, small deal, no deal. Wendy Adams in for Brian Gebhardt, who's drunk on a golf course somewhere. That was snitching. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Minutes away from an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Pat Forty, college football insider, was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. Let you hear some of what he had to say coming up at 11:20 on a day where the Big Ten announced that it's going to be conference only. We'll be interested to see what other conferences make that decision as well. But Pat Forty, great as always. We'll let you hear some of what he had to say.
Man, it just came across the screen again, Andy.
Why?
United is playing tomorrow, Andy.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Tomorrow night? Atlanta
so
United
excited.
Plays yeah, a competitive soccer match.
Did you see and Mike Conte? He'll be with it at 1:20, right? Yep. He just tweeted out a picture of how they're gonna him and Jason from Mercedes Benz, which is so awesome. But
it is cool.
Yeah, man, it's show time. They don't do it till tomorrow. I was gonna say who's up top? Who do you think? Who can you guess who's gonna be up top tomorrow?
Ugh, we talked to Jason on Wednesday. Yeah. He gave us a name of a guy who hadn't even played for him yet. I mean, I don't know. Adam John would be the natural. Oh. Assumption just because he's done it in the one of two games they played without Joseph. I don't know. Maybe you put Pity up there.
I'm going to say they put Pity up there. I'm going to go with Pity. Pity going to be my guess.
Put Pity up top. And then, I mean, no matter what you do, you're going to have to make a lot of changes because, I mean, guys, as we've seen in the start of the MLS tournament, guys are about 60 minutes fit.
Yeah.
And then you get to that, you know, you get to that second water break that they take, and then everybody's gassed. It's like, all right, time to make some subs. The good news is Atlanta United is deep, and the best news is, aside from Joseph, Atlanta United is healthy right now. So
yeah, that's the biggest thing. That is the biggest thing right there. So
use that depth to your advantage. This has been some Joseph Martinez videos on Twitter the last couple of days, by the way. Do you see the one? He's walking on a treadmill talking about the muscles coming back in his legs, which is good. Look, hopefully as soon as he's healthy, back on the pitch. I mean, if anybody benefited from this delay, and I want to, you know, to find a silver lining in it, maybe it's him. He didn't have to miss nearly as many games as he would have if the season would have kept going on. All right, we'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up in 15 minutes. Without any further ado, though, let's get to a big deal, small deal, no deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or no deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
No Brian Gebhardt. Wendy Adams in for Brian today as well. The big deal, small deal, no deal. Brought to you by Brian Gebhardt's Hangover, which I confirmed with Brian was an 8 out of 10 yesterday.
Sweet.
8 out of 10 hangover. But he says no hangover today. He says he's poised and ready to have a productive afternoon. But yesterday, I guess,
10.
Was a woo-banger.
8 out of 10 is awesome. 8 out of 10 is a good one. Yeah.
I mean, you're up there.
Yeah. Might as well. What up, Wendy?
Hey, Wendy.
What up? I'm really proud of Brian. I mean, 8 out of 10, but he probably had a little hair of the dog, which is why he didn't have a hangover today.
I would think so.
I just feel like that helps. You just got to get right back on the horse to sometimes feel better. We've all been there. Well, big deal, small deal, no deal, guys. HBO officially announcing a two-part Tiger Woods documentary called Tiger,
really?
Which is going to air in December.
Really? It's not a big deal. I mean, Tiger's had plenty of documentaries going on.
I know.
I got to check. Yeah, Tiger's definitely in documentaries, man. So I mean,
point me in the direction of the other Tiger Woods documentaries.
Yeah, you never seen one before?
No.
Yeah, they went on a Golf Channel a couple of years ago.
What? Oh, all right. Yeah. But like, what?
Like,
was
I've watched all the golf documentaries. They had one on Tiger. They had one on Jack. They had one on Arnold Palmer. Dude, you supposed to be some golf dude. Come on, man.
But here's the thing, like though. This. Here's
what?
The thing, though.
What?
Those were probably documentaries that were shedding a very positive light on Tiger Woods' rise to fame. I feel documentary.
You think they're gonna have nasty Tiger?
Well, it is because
freaky Tiger.
Rachel Yucatel is in this documentary, and it's the first time she's ever spoken publicly about Tiger Woods. And
who's Rachel Yucatel?
The lady that used to set up all his nastiness.
Ooh, so he had like a nasty secretary.
Basically,
sweet.
She's never spoken publicly about it before, but she's in the documentary.
So she
saw on Golf Channel might have been a little different than what this one's going to be.
Oh, it might be. She's the one. She's the homeboy that you go send to get the girl number. Hey, man, go get that girl number for him. That's her. That's what she do.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. But probably a little bit more
High end.
Yeah. She was the madam, you know, if you want to call it that, whatever. She was setting it up for him, so she's in it. I guess like his first ever girlfriend from college is in it. She hardly has ever spoken publicly. Armin Katayan and Jeff Benedict is the guy's name who wrote the book about Tiger and all that stuff a couple years ago.
Why is his first girlfriend, right? Because he found somebody, because he got popular and left her. That's what happened. And she's gonna be in there bitter and everything.
Maybe she will be. I don't know. I'm just giving you the names of the people that are gonna be in the documentary that you haven't heard from before. And I'm sure a lot of the documentary will be about the rise and the drive and the phenomenon and all that kind of stuff. But there's also going to be a lot of it that's about the, you know, other stuff. And we never really heard that many details about the other stuff. Certainly not.
You know, Tiger was a damn freak.
Yeah, we're about to find out a lot more about that.
You know, Tiger's a damn freak.
I don't know. Does it make me weird that I want to learn about it? Like,
of course it does.
I'm interested.
Okay, you still want to see Robert Kraft's parlor tape?
Nope.
So, I mean, yes, you
do.
Yes,
I don't want to see it. I did see that there was a court order a couple weeks ago that's going to continue to withhold that tape from the public.
You think it's a travesty, don't you?
Well, I just think we've got a right to information.
Are you serious? We know what was happening in there.
What was going on? I don't know.
He was getting a massage.
Right. I don't want to watch it. I'm just saying, if it becomes public, there's a chance that I might.
No, you're gonna watch it. There's no way you're not watching it.
I might not.
Yeah, I'm convinced.
You never know. You never know what I'm gonna do. I'm a loose cannon. But I'm definitely gonna watch this Tiger documentary. I'm into that 100%.
Well, big deal, small deal, no deal. NBA player egos. You had Rajon Rondo comparing his room to a Motel 6. It was far from it. LeBron James comparing leaving the bubble to heading to serve a prison sentence.
Ooh.
And then this from J.R. Smith.
Word. Eat Lunchables, Mikey. You're food by the foot. Like, I'm 15 like you. Oh, man. They mad at me, bro. I'm gone. Just got the text. Exposing too much. Gotta go. My bad.
Hey man, this is a big deal, and here's why.
It's a big deal.
Because first of all, if what me and Andy hasn't been saying since J.R. Smith's been signed that he's going to be one to jack everything up, that's what those things like that should let you know that JR is going to jack things up. I understand this, all right, because you're used to a certain thing when you get a certain amount of status and money. They're used to being in 4 and 5 star hotels, and they're used to getting these meals. And that's what they're used to, and they're going to have to adjust to it. How much is the NBA like, man, could y'all please stop?
Yeah,
could y'all please stop? If it's not something fun, could y'all stop complaining? Because there's a lot of people that don't have jobs that would love to be in that damn bubble that you complain and eating that food that you damn complain about.
Yeah, it's a self-awareness thing that we talk about. Often, yeah. Randy, and comparing it to prison seems silly. You think Rondo's been, maybe back in the day, but I've stayed in a lot of Motel 6s.
Yeah, I think that
Motel 6. That room didn't look like a Motel 6.
I've stayed in a Motel 6 before. Now, will I not stay there? I'll never say never, because God forbid I would never have to stay in a Motel 6. But, one thing about me, Andy, I'm not a snob, and I'm not really particular about too many things except for hotels. And my wife knows that. Like, I have a stickler. If I'm a splurge or anything, I'm going to stay somewhere nice.
Sure.
But if you're in this point, you got to adjust, man. Like, Pat Bev video was so good. I saw the Dallas Mavericks. They having fun with the video. You got to make the best out of a different situation. And it's not forever. It's not. Like LeBron. No, you ain't going to jail. You ain't going to do no bid. I know you're going to miss your family, your babies and all that. They're going to miss you. But don't be talking about, I feel like I'm going to go do a bid. No, you ain't. You're going to go play basketball. And stay at Disney. And you saw that in that video, he was shooting the whole hallway, right, of all his teammates. I bet LeBron wasn't on that flow.
Nope.
I bet LeBron
somebody posted a picture from coming to, or a video from coming to America. Remember when the kids
showed up? Oh, it was so great. It was so great.
And I said, this is what happens when LeBron shows up to the bubble and he gets out there throwing rose petals on the ground and all that.
It was so great. It was so great.
That's exactly what
it's going to
be like.
Yeah.
LeBron. Brian Gebhardt checking in, by the way, says currently drinking coffee with a Bailey's in it. So,
my dude.
Hair of the dog is great.
Man, these are definitely – damn, Andy, and my messages are so short right now because this is – because when Brian's not here, we don't text as much. Y'all don't text as much. So, when I opened up the text, your face is right there from Wednesday.
Oh, because I text you that selfie of my hair looking crazy.
Yeah, your face
I'm
right
finally
there.
As tall as you.
Yeah,
when my hair stands
hair?
Up on end, I'm 6'5 at this point. Yeah. I need a haircut.
Yeah,
it's happening tonight. Haircut tonight, Randy. I'll send you pictures.
Who's cutting? Julia or Ash?
Both.
You get tag a two-man team, haircut?
Tag team haircut. Yeah. It's going to be – it's a lot of hair, man. We need a team for what's going on up there. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Keep sending us your drinking pictures. It's a 4-hour happy hour on a Friday. We'll give you a shout out if you send us what you're drinking. We'll be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.